Okay, tonight's morale. So Parshas Pinchas, right after the Magay for the plague that breaks out following the act of Zimri and Cosby, which Pinchas puts an end to, Hashem commands for another count of the Jewish people. And the first Shevet that's counted is Reuven. At the end of the count of Reuven, the Torah tells us that part of the, two of the people within the tribe were Dasan and Aviram, and they're no longer counted because they were killed in the earth opening up during the rebellion of Korach. Dasan and Aviram were part of that. And the Torah tells us, so they died together with Korach when the earth of Vatipatacha Aretz Aspiha, as well as the 250 groups of people that gathered together around Korach. And the Torah tells us, so as we're listing the children of Reuven, they're no longer part of that. And then the Torah throws in, Uvnei Korach lo mesu. And the children of Korach himself, they didn't die. Now, Korach, of course, was from the tribe of Levi, so we're not even up to that yet. But here, once we mention Dasan and Aviram, who were from Reuven, Torah throws in, and Korach's children didn't die. Why is that relevant? We need to know. Why is that coming from the children? Why didn't they even die? Such a strange thing to add, that Korach himself, the leader, swallowed up, and his children didn't die. Rashi comments, Heim hayu be'etza tchila. They were originally part of the plan. They were part of the idea of to rebel against Moshe and Aaron. However, uvishas hamachlokes, when the actual fight broke out, hirhuru b'tshuva b'libam. In their hearts, they had thoughts of tshuva. And since they had thoughts of tshuva during the actual dispute, lefikach nisbatzer lahem makom gvoa b'gehenim. When the earth opened up and swallowed Korach and Dasan and Aviram, it really swallowed them also, the children of Korach. But there was a little cleft, there was a place left up above the fires of Gehenna where the children of Korach were able to stay, and they were not singed by the fires of Gehenna because they had thoughts of tshuva in their mind, vayeshvu sham, Rashi says. So they stayed there, protected inside the earth, but not quite in Gehenna. So says Chazal, as Rashi quotes, Uvnei Korach lo mesu. Now there's much discussion on such an agadata, such a piece of Chazal on the children of Korach. First of all, Rashi already mentioned a couple weeks ago in Parshas Korach itself, the children of Korach, not only do they live, but they sing Shira, the Gemara that says that they had this place in the earth, whatever exactly it was, what they do there all day. So the Gemara says they sang Shira, which you're all familiar with, right before we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Lam Natzeach, Livnei Korach Mizmor. Who is the author of the Perek of Tehillim? The Bnei Korach. The Bnei Korach, the Torah says they didn't die. Not only did they not die, they sang Shira, and we have some Perekim in Tehillim that were composed by the Bnei Korach. And not only did they survive, but they themselves had children. As Rashi tells us, Shmuel Anavi himself was descended from the Bnei Korach, which Rashi says was one of the things that misled Korach in the first place, is because he foresaw that he was going to have righteous children, and he said, if I'm going to have such a child like Shmuel descend from me, I must be worthy. How could it be that I was passed over this position? And that led him astray in the whole rebellion. So these Bnei Korach, who are singing songs and Shira and Tehillim, they're going to eventually get out and have children and are going to descend from them Shmuel Anavi. The one comment I just want to share from the Maral is, what's this idea that they're like they're in no man's land? They're sort of, the earth opens up, but they don't actually go down to Gehenna. So the Maral says, because the Pasuk says, Ubnei Korach lo mesu. It doesn't say it in a positive way. Ubnei Korach chayu, that they lived. It just says that they didn't die. So if it says that they didn't die, it sounds like they didn't quite have a good life, but they didn't quite die either. So they're in nowhere is better. They're in between. And why should they be in no man's land? So the Maral says, because Chazal's language is, they joined the Machlokas originally, and then when the Machlokas happens, hir huru bilibam. In their hearts, they had thoughts of tshuva. In their hearts, but not in their mouth. They didn't say anything. And since they didn't actually express regrets, which means the last thing that they expressed verbally was, we're with Korach, we're with Fatati. And then when the Machlokas says, they're just silent. In their minds, they're thinking, we don't want to be part of this. But it was only in their minds. And since they didn't say anything, they didn't change it, they didn't bring into existence the tshuva with words, so they're in no man's land. They're not quite like Korach anymore, but they can't say that they're not part of him. And therefore, they end up in this place. This is a source The Rambam writes, where it's not that far away, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the mitzvah of tshuva of Yom Kippur is a mitzvah of vidui b'peh. You have to say it out loud. It's not enough to think. If a husband were to, theoretically speaking, make some type of mistake that he needs to apologize for, it's not enough in his mind. He says, "Ah, it's terrible. I really shouldn't do that." That doesn't work. That doesn't mean, it's very nice that in your mind you feel bad and you apologize. If you do not say it, if you don't bring it into existence, then it remains in that place of, it's not a tshuva gemura. It doesn't have that status. It's not complete. It's not there. And the Bnei Korach had that status. That's why they end up in this no man's land. There's much to discuss. Again, as I said, Chazal have a lot to say about the Bnei Korach, but we'll leave it at that for now. Well, why? I'll just leave you with the question is, why should that be the parak of Tehillim that we read before shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah, which of course has the phrase Ariu Lashem, which discusses that we should mention seven times this Lam Natzeach Livnei Korach to the children of Korach who led this great rebellion? That's what's on our lips seven times as we begin shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah. Thoughts to think about as we approach this that special time. But we'll leave it at that for now.